Hey, this morning, as you can tell, as we've been talking about having a time where we have tables set out, we're going to announce to you in a few minutes all the different ministries that our church offers. Especially since I've moved here, I wasn't even aware of some of the ministries that were happening behind the scenes. And sometimes when we come Sunday, we don't really realize what happens from Monday to Saturday, in a sense. So we're going to share all that with you. And I just wanted to start, though, this morning with something that wasn't even on my agenda. But when I went to the wedding yesterday, I attended Silas and Alana's wedding, and they had come earlier in the week and had asked me to do something. And I've shared this, you may have heard this already, but she came into my office and she said, Silas and I need to meet with you. And you know, typically, the way I used to think too, especially if you went to like a principal's office or the pastor's office, you're in trouble or you needed help. And I thought, oh my word, there's only a few days and they're about to get married and they're asking for some help already. And so that's just where my thoughts went. But I was so excited when they asked me this. They said, Pastor, we would love for you to walk us through communion, because after we say the vows and we exchange the rings, the very first thing I want to do is get right with God. I want to commit our relationship to the Lord. I was just so excited for this young couple. I'm so excited for all these young couples that are getting married in our church. They're just beginning a journey with Christ. And it just really stirred in my heart. And as I walked them through that, oh, it was just tears of excitement and joy for them. And it got me thinking, because this is the way that I am. I'm just kind of a resolute mindset kind of a person. I think about all scenarios. You think about good scenarios. You think about scenarios that maybe don't go so well sometimes. And in the relationship, I thought they're so fresh and so new and fragile. It's wonderful to see them moving towards the Lord. But what happens if years later, or even, you know, a long term later, things didn't go the way that they had planned? And where do we sit with that? And where do we, how do we process that? As well, in my Christian walk, I would say the same thing as, you know, I gave my life to Christ, and a lot of things honestly didn't pan out the way that I thought they would. And what do we do with that? How do we wrestle with that? And this morning, I wanted us to kind of think for a moment. We're gonna share a quick sermon in a second. We're going to move to about serving in our church, but we can't move past this. This is very, very important we get this. We don't need to go any further. I want you to understand that the theme or the preaching that I've been doing the last month or so has been around get to know your Bible. Fall in love with the Word of God. And if you don't have one, we'll give you one. Then we moved on to prayer. To just get humble before a holy and majestic and wonderful God. Come into a time of prayer every day. Read your Word every day. Pray every day. And this morning, I just felt really, really heavy, this weight of like when we come here, sometimes we're distracted because of the things that are going on in our lives. I can't even connect with God because of what's happening. And sometimes we need to get right with God in that way as well. So when I thought about a relationship, I thought about things that happen in relationships. Sometimes communication is going to break down. Maybe you're in a season where communication is just quiet in the house. Something's changed. It's not the way it used to be. Sometimes finances bring in stress and tension. And I'm going to say something, and please don't laugh. It's not a joking matter. I'm going to move quickly from it so we don't embarrass, you know, kids or anything. But sometimes the marriage bed is defiled, and we need to come back to God. We need to repent of that. And sometimes our children aren't going the way that we see it, and it brings heaviness on us. And sometimes there's sickness, and sometimes we even may have lost or lose one of our husband and our wife. And how do we deal with that? How do we continue to serve God like that? And sometimes there's some disinterest or some boredom. It's been 40, 50 years, and it's not the same anymore. Sometimes a career gets in the way. We get so focused on something that we desire, something that we're spending so much time on, that it influences our relationships, and it influences our relationship, most importantly, with our Heavenly Father. Sometimes kids leave the house. Well, I'm not really looking forward to that day. And you become empty nesters. There's that season that we may have gone through. And in the same way, if you're here and you know you're not in a relationship and maybe you're single and that's just where you're at, and you've given your life to Christ, But it's just, there's something missing. You just feel like your prayers are hitting the roof. You feel like your schedule's got you so busy. You don't have time. You can't find time with the Lord. And you're here this morning. And how can I move any further and preach the word of God if we're not going to get honest and real with our Heavenly Father? Because when you come here, I want you to really understand this. This is not a place where I'm so thankful for Brianna. Where are you this morning? You did a wonderful job the first time, and I'm not pointing you out to make you uncomfortable, but it was your first time leading, as far as I understand this morning, right? And she did a wonderful job. But when you come here, you don't come here to worship the worship leader. There's not a performance here. When it comes for Pastor Rachel to talk about cakes and, you know, it's her birthday and all this kind of stuff, we love Pastor Rachel, but we're not here to just, well, I'm so glad I heard from Pastor Rachel this morning. I heard this in the conference that made so much sense to me. When I come up to the platform, I am not the keynote speaker. I want to introduce you to the keynote speaker. And the keynote speaker is our Heavenly Father. And so I want to draw you up. Can I lead you, please, this morning? Over all these 8 or 9 months I've been with you, I really want to lead you somewhere this morning. And I hope you're going to be responsive. If I'm the only one, then that's okay. Then I needed this morning more than you needed it. But would you be willing this morning? We're starting, in a sense, a school year. This is always with goals, vision, you know, where are we headed as a church? We're headed right here to the altar. We're headed onto our knees. We're headed towards the word. We're headed towards prayer. We don't need anything else. We need the Heavenly Father to come into our lives in areas we haven't let him in before. So there's areas that even me and my wife, Amelie, need help. We're going to come to the altar this morning and get on our knees and ask God just for a few minutes. Say, God, we just desire more of you. We desire a fresh anointing. We desire to be, you know, closer to you. We just, you know, this kind of stuff. We want more of God. We don't want anything else. And would you be willing as well to do the same? I love this church. What a huge altar. It was built and designed for these moments. I can imagine somebody was here putting the carpet on or nailing this or building the platform. People are going to come and get saved. They're going to repent of their sins. They're going to get closer to God in these moments. And now we're years later, and we're going to continue to keep doing this as a church. It may feel uncomfortable. I'm like, let's be honest. When pastors used to do this, when I was first saved, I thought, you're kidding me. I'm not listening to that. I'm not coming to the front. That's crazy talk. Why would I do that? And now that I understand who he is, I don't care what's happening. I'm running. I want to be the first one to repent and come closer to God. So this morning, I'm not asking you because I'm asking you. I'm asking you this morning, would you respond because of him? I'm going to ask Brianna now. She has going to come to the keyboard and just gently play something just to set the atmosphere, make it a little easier for all of us. There's no hand raising. There's no confessing out loud. There's no mic in your face. This is just between you and God. And if in this moment, and I want to be open, if this is not you and you don't feel that, then please just pray for those that come. Please just be quiet. We're just for a few moments, and then we're going to get into the message this morning. So I'm just going to ask my wife, you know, let's just come first. We're going to get on our knees, and we're just going to cry out to God. Morning, please do the same. Please come now. Father, we thank you so much for these moments. God, I thank you that as people have got out of their seats and moved their posture in a position of humility and humbleness, Father, I thank you that in the spiritual realm you're doing wonderful things. You're setting people free. You're giving them a new heart and a new mind. It says, renew your mind in the ways of the Lord. And I thank you that that's happening right now, Father. I thank you that you're setting up a good foundation for us to build off of. I thank you that where the foundation was broken or cracked, you're restoring it, Father, in Jesus' name. God, thank you for your church. Thank you for your people. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Just give yourself a minute or two if you need to, but make your way back to your seat. Thank you so much for your obedience. It's always tough to put that on hold or to stop those kind of moments. I just thank God so much for what he's doing in and through each one of us and how he's using this church and how he's using you. And I just really want God to be with you every single day. You know, we've got a few hours this morning, but I just want to make sure that you're with him, he's with you, and you're walking and living it out. This isn't a place to be entertained or to experience a nice TED talk. This is the word of God. There's power and authority for you and I this morning. So I'm going to look at a story in the word this morning. If you wanted to open the word of God up to John chapter 13, if you've got some kind of device, flick it on and let's look at that together. So John chapter 13 is a story about Jesus teaching the disciples something. There's these moments where Jesus goes on a healing or a revival kind of moment, and then there's times when he just has the disciples together and he says, I need to teach these people something because they're going to live and walk this out when I leave. So here's this wonderful story of Jesus teaching his disciples something. So verse 1, it was just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. He now showed them the full extent of his love by what he's about to do. Man, he did a lot. He's done a lot. And in this moment, he makes that comment. That's a big statement. We need to pay attention to what he's about to do. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothes, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, if you are going to wash my feet... Lord, if you're going to wash my feet, sorry, Jesus replied, do you not realize now what I am doing? But later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. Wow. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, don't just wash my feet, but wash like my head and my hands, you know, all this kind of stuff. And Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew that he was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. Verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? Was the question. Do you understand what I just did by washing your feet? It's a great question we're going to come back to. He asked them, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You'll be blessed if you wash people's feet. Is that what Jesus had said here when he said, I'm going to show you the full extent of my love by washing feet? This was done thousands of years ago, and I think there's moments in time where, you know, we may feel led to do that just as an example. But was this a doctrine that we were to fulfill? Like in our service this morning, should we have a time of prayer and a time of feet washing? Is that something that Jesus was trying to teach us here in these moments? And if we were to dig deeper, we'd realize that that is not what he was trying to do. This passage is not to be confused with the meaning and significance of the Last Supper. Jesus is preparing the disciples, in a sense, for the Last Supper. He's getting them ready for the Passover. And this is not to be, you know, part of that. When we do communion, we don't do a washing feet, and then we take communion together. There's something to be taught here. It's what we call an instructive sign. So an instructive sign would be something like, you see it says free Wi-Fi in the church, or, you know, in your places where you have coffee, free Wi-Fi. So does that sign have any significance, the sign itself? No, it's telling you to do something. Then that means you got to open up your device, you need to log on, you need to push a button, there's an action now, there's a sign, it's telling you to do something. So it's an instructive sign for us. It says here in Luke chapter 24, verse 45. So Jesus is teaching his disciples in another way, and it says this, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Jesus in this moment is trying to open the disciples' minds up to understand why he had come. You know, he had come to hang on the cross and, you know, die for our sins, but he also came to set an example for us of how to live and how to walk life out. And this is what he goes on to say in this parable. Because it's for the eye. You know, this parable is for us to visually see. So I'm a visual guy. I need to see something. If Jesus would just tell me what to do, I'm not sure how well I would do. Even some of us, if Jesus gives you a book or an instruction manual to follow, sometimes that's not how we learn. Some of us learn by doing and seeing. So this example right here in the parable is about doing and seeing. They see what Jesus does as an example to teach them how to live. It is just brilliant. God is just, do you understand how broad that is? God knows each one of us. He says, I'm going to make sure that each one of you understands and can learn in his own way. Because I've given you every way to learn. There's no way you could miss this. God isn't just like in a book. You know, I grew up, I hated books, hated reading, couldn't understand. But when you show me something and I see it, and God does something radical in my life, whoa, that's how I learn. That's how I get it. That's why my life story is out of control. But that's the way that God has to get my attention. There are four things in here that we need to learn from. The very first thing is like this. When we see God and we see who he is and what he says to us, he says, I'll carry it all for you. Just trust in me. Now he's going to use an image. Here we go. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Matthew 11, 29 says this. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So Jesus is saying, as two animals, if you're a farmer, you would have like two oxen or two whatever, and there would be a yoke that would bond them together, would lock them together so that they could pull together. And Jesus is saying, if you do it in your own strength, it's going to be super difficult. But if you would put your yoke on me, I will do all the hard pulling, and let's go together. Let's do this together. Do you see the imagery there? It's so good for us. It goes on to also say, the rest of the verse, verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In our thinking, if we were to read about a yoke, about two animals being yoked together, it just feels like it's a lot of work. The reason we hired the animal is because we can't do the work ourselves. We're like, I'm going to hire that out. You know, we're going to get a bobcat or an excavator because we're not going to do it by hand. So in our minds, if we were to read the yoke is heavy. That's hard work. But in Jesus' economy, in God's world, the yoke is light and easy. So good, isn't it? Point number one. It takes humility and to have a humble heart to wash somebody's feet. God is trying to teach us something through this. How many people would be excited about washing somebody's feet? especially after a camp season or out on the boat for the day when it's all sweaty and, you know, toe jammy and that kind of stuff. Or when they go to camp and they put the sock over the Coke and then you have to crack it and drink it through the sock, right? Like, that is disgusting. And God is saying, I want you to be disgusting and clean up. That sounds like parenting, right? That just sounds like, you know, kids are making a mess in my house, and why didn't they, like, make it to the bathroom before that happened? All those kind of things, right? We don't want to be like that. And God is saying, I want to show you an example. Can you imagine the disciples' feet as they came in the house? That's gross. You know, they'd been walking all day. You know, they just had sandals back. They're not nice closed toes, so things wouldn't get in there. Like, who knows what was on the feet? And Jesus got on his knees in front of them and cleansed their feet. When we see things in this world, I honestly get kind of disgusted sometimes. The things that are happening is just disturbing. But in that moment, do I think, I got to get away from this? This is gross. Or do I think, I know, I'll get on my knees and help that situation. It just doesn't seem right, does it? But it's what God is trying to say and teach us through these moments. There's this wonderful story of a guy in 2 Samuel chapter 6. I love Old Testament characters. They were just so passionate and radical. And when they messed up, they were just as passionate and radical about getting right with their God. And when we read this story, just imagine yourself here as you were to witness this. This sometimes maybe even happens in worship when we see people. We see certain things like, that guy's, you know, excited about worship or something. He's just a little bit out there. And we read here in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, as the presence of God was coming, this is what happened in the city of David. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, this lady, she despised him in her heart. As he was leaping and dancing about what God was up to, about the presence of God, I don't know, like, if I hold back or what, but sometimes in worship, I'm kind of like, I'm kind of shaking, I'm kind of moving, get my hands up, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, just the hairs, right? You're like, oh, this song, I like this song, yeah, and you're right into it, and I don't care, I'm at the front, you're all looking, and that's fine, you know, praise God, and, you know, this is what was happening here, and the people were like, hey, this lady was like, hey, whoa, hey, King, you're King David, you chill out, you know, you got your robe on, you don't do that, you don't act like that, you're just all, you know, modest, and professional and looking good. You don't go out of your comfort zone and make some, like, what are people going to think of you? This is what he goes on. The people are questioning him, you know, stop acting like that. Watch what he says. So good. This is how I desire to be like this. Verse 22. I will become even more indignified than this. And I will be more humiliated even in my own eyes than what you just saw me. Because I'm so excited about God and what he's up to and what he's doing. Whoa, okay, that's a little bit different. He's acting a little bit different than normal. What a great sign or image of somebody just kind of just dancing before the Lord. Just, yes, God, praise you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for everything that you've given me. Just passionate about God. Just passionate about just even the presence of God has come. Nothing had even happened yet. It was just the ark was coming in. Woohoo! You know? He was imagining what was going to happen in the future. He's just excited about it. He just couldn't hold it in anymore. Is there moments in life where just don't hold it in anymore? It's okay to let loose for the Lord. Don't make it, you know, for, oh, I got it, you know, I always say this silly thing, you know, like I got a TV or car or something, like, yes, got the new system or whatever, like, that's okay, you know, look at the size of my squash or my, you know, whatever that grapefruit was, I saw the biggest grapefruit in the world was just kind of, whatever it is, but go crazier for the things of the Lord. When somebody gets saved or they get baptized or whatever, it's like, woo, go nuts, let loose, it's okay to praise God. I want to be, I tell you things about my life because it's ridiculous to think back to, and you're so gracious. Well, thank you so much for continuing to have me. But when I wasn't saved, okay, I'm under the influence of a lot of stuff. Somebody had got into an accident and knocked over a stop sign, and I had the greatest idea. I picked the stop sign up, and I was running down the road, the middle of the road, yelling at cars, stop! Stop! It was just right out of my mind. But that's just, okay, you remember, okay, I'm saved now, I'm okay now, I promise, just keep praying. But are we the same way for the gospel? Right? When we see things that in the world that disgust us and are gross, we don't beat them over the head with the Bible, but we humble ourselves and we wash people's feet, pray for them, encourage them, love on them. Are we that radical? As crazy as I was, I mean, it's so extreme. I'm just an extreme guy. But are we that same way about God? When we see something that's broken or not right, do we get that crazy? That we're like, this isn't right. This needs to stop, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm getting on my knees. I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to open the Word up, and I'm going to go and just love on them, as messy as they are. I might need to even clean them up a little bit before we even, here's some gum, and, just let's have a little shower before, you and I interact. But whatever it looks like, love on people wherever they're at. Please don't, there's no distance between us and them. You remember Jesus, leprosy, right? If you touched leprosy, you were now unclean. And Jesus, remember, lepers would come to him and say, Jesus, are you willing to just set me free? And Jesus said, I am. And he would touch them. They're all gross and nasty and scabby. He would touch them. Are we the same way? We're going to touch people. We're going to go into their lives where they're at. Third point here. Avoid the temptation of becoming arrogant about serving. I feel this sometimes, like, I don't want to do that, or I don't want to go there. And sometimes I don't understand the significance of advancing someone else before my own needs, of humbling myself, saying, I don't need any limelight, but I can tell that you need some right now. I want to help you up. I want to help encourage you. I'm expecting better days for you. I don't need anything. I have Jesus in my heart. You need something as well. We help people along the way. Let the other person, as comical and small as it is, let the other person in front of you, let them in the line, let them get the glory. Let them have the last dessert. That's always hard to do. I'm like, it's chocolate. I love chocolate. But you can have it. Do you like chocolate? I could have it back. But anyways, whatever it is, let them have it. And the fourth point is to serve others well. Watch this story in the Word. Isn't the Word exciting? Don't you love the Bible? Luke chapter 7. My Bible doesn't have Luke. Oh, there it is. Chapter 7. I thought, that's a good one. We don't want to lose that book. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. We jump into the story. Jesus is invited, it says now, to a Pharisee's house. He's having dinner with them, verse 36. So he went in to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in the town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. This isn't the same story where the whole jar was poured on his head to anoint him for burial. This is a different story. And she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She knew her sin was great, and she was just broken. It's almost like what we did this morning, right? I asked you, I said, what is going on in your life? Does it cause you to weep before God? I'm so sorry for the things that I've done. She's just broken, and she's weeping. And she began to wet his feet with her tears. There's just tears coming down. Then she wiped them with her hair. That is being indignant. Being totally humiliated in front of people. And she was willing to do that. And she began to kiss the tear, salty, dirty feet because she knew how broken she was and how desperate she was to have Christ in her life. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she was. She's a sinner. Why would you even touch a sinner? Why would you even let a sinner come close to you? That's wrong. Why would you do that? That's what he's thinking in his mind. You got to play the part. You got to understand what's going on in here. And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. You better listen up. Jesus is about to speak. Jesus is in the house. This is what he says, though. Watch his response. Tell me, teacher, he said. You know, he's being a bit of a, you know, a bit of a, you know, he's got a lot to say. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. Jesus is going to tell a story now. Because Jesus doesn't rebuke people. He tells them stories so that they can learn. He gives them examples so that they can understand, right? This is so good. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love me more? Simon replied. I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. And you have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you did not give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Do you see what had happened there? When you come into somebody's house, there's supposed to be water for you to wash your feet. There's supposed to be a servant to kind of show you in. And this Simon guy was like, man, it's just Jesus, whatever. Whoa, I don't ever want to treat my Jesus like that. When Jesus comes and he shows up, I want to be the first one on my knees, washing his feet, crying tears of just joy because he's in my life. And he wiped, and with her tears, she had wiped them with her hair. Verse 45, you did not give me even a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. That's humility. That's uncomfortable. That's almost awkward, but she's just so sold out for the gospel, so sold out for Jesus. Therefore, where was I? Did not stop kissing my feet. That was actually it. I just wanted to stop there. Sorry, verse 45. Yep, good. So, when we come and we come to people, we come to situations, I just really want us to learn from this story how to approach situations as God wanted us to learn and as God wanted to teach us. What's, one of the most important things, I'm about to teach you how to love others, Jesus said these words to us, and he gives us this example. What a brilliant example. What a super intelligent God, eh? I've gone way over time, as always. That never happens. We need to move along in our service, so I'm so thankful for this message. Let me just kind of close in a prayer, and we're going to allow each one of our board members to come up, and they're just going to share all the ministries that are going on in our church, because sometimes we don't know that. And we're going to do this about once a year. We'll just quickly remind each other of all the wonderful things God is doing in and through this church. So let me just close in a prayer. So you just bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. Father, we thank you for such a great example of your willingness to be humiliated, of your willingness to be broken for us, even to be spit on and beaten up, for my sake, for all the things that I've done wrong, God, you took all of that. You put that on your yoke. You made it easy for me to come into your presence. God, we thank you for that. God, would you stir up our hearts for lost people? Would you stir up our heart for things that are out of our comfort zone? Would you help us to go across the street, across the neighborhood, to other people that may seem dirty and broken to us? God, would you help us to see as you see those people? God, just a love and a passion for them. May it humble us. May we desire to reach out in Jesus' precious name. Amen.